Thank you for tuning in to Detail Memories. This episode is brought to you by RotaFest and Zenware. RotaFest is the most powerful mobile invoicing software designed for auto detailers and recon professionals on the market today. More than just a mobile invoicing app, it gives you a complete suite of tools to manage your business. Yes, it has a mobile app designed for the iPhone and Android to decode the VIN and create an invoice in the field. But it also includes integration with QuickBooks, customer management tools, text and email reminders, reports, and now inventory management is included in this powerful suite of tools. Learn more about RotaFest at rotafest.com.
Yo, yo, good day, gents. And hey, dude, it's time for the show. Wake up. Oh, come on.
I heard we were having Jason and Alex on, so I stayed up and drank all night because I wanted to look and feel my best for the podcast. So, you know.
Yeah, well, you looking at your best doesn't happen ever.
Morning, guys.
How you guys doing?
Well, it's a good afternoon.
Yeah,
afternoon here for us.
Afternoon, evening.
Yeah, when you're drinking, you never know what it's always noon.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So, you know,
Miller time, right?
Yeah, it's 5:30 somewhere, right?
Or 5:00. That's what I said to myself all last week on the cruise. I wake up at 10 in the morning, grab a tropical mule, and say it's 5:30 somewhere.
5:30 somewhere, right. Man. That's awesome. So, well, man, we are super excited to have you guys as our guests. I mean, you guys have an incredible podcast.
Well, thank you.
You guys bring so much to the industry. So if you guys don't know these guys, who are they, Rod?
I don't know. No. This is Alex Nessel and Jason Bruno from the Detail Solutions podcast. And we're going to get into how that mixes in with Detail Assassins and stuff here. But we really wanted to have on, and Alex and I had a short conversation at MTE. And it was interesting because as we were talking, people were like, oh, you know, this podcast versus that podcast. And we were like, you can't have podcast competition. You can listen to everybody.
Yeah.
So we really wanted to kind of bring the two.
And I do.
Yeah. I wanted to bring them together and talk about, you know, what you guys do and how some of the stuff you do with the Detail Assassins and really highlighting the industry, you know, is making a big impact.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and correct you though. It's Paint Assassins. I know that was kind of eating at Jason. I could see it in his face.
Let's talk about what that is and how that relates to what you guys are doing.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll just give a quick rundown about Paint Assassins as in itself. So I started it in 2018, basically just as a Facebook group, because in 2018 is when I kind of started really getting really into detailing and wanted to learn more. So I just created a group so I can learn from other people, and it basically just grew to what you see as it is today. Like, I just tried to keep everything as positive as I can, you know, give people encouragement, give people motivation is through the award system that I have going on, and try to highlight as many things as I can that's really not highlighted in this industry. And I do that with the newsletters that I do every month now, where I highlight our paint correction of the month winner. I highlight a detailer from around the world every month. Try to give a perspective of how detailing is in other countries. Mm-hmm. That way it just kind of, it's a camaraderie type thing. So if you're a part of that group and you can feel the camaraderie, you can feel the motivation, and you can feel the people that want to help. So that's basically what Paint Assassins is.
Well, and I love that because you came at it from the standpoint of, I'm going to create a group so I can learn, mm-hmm. so that I can, you know, bounce ideas off people. And I love that because I think the industry needs more of that kind of collaboration, because we all know that next week, Toyota or Tesla or somebody's going to bring out a different paint, and everybody's going to go, how do I deal with this? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And creating an environment where you can productively talk about how you're going to attack it, the challenge that you face. And I mean, I just love the concept.
I appreciate it. I mean, it's, I have a vision. Like, I set short-term goals and then I have long-term goals, and my short-term goals are always from year to year. My long-terms are 5 years. And ever since I started really doing that and kind of writing down everything, I've been accomplishing the goals that I have set for the brand itself. So, like, what you see now is just what I envisioned like a year ago, and it's only going to keep growing from there. So, and it's all due to the people that are a part of the Facebook group, the people who participate in the awards, and basically everybody who just supports the brand itself. So,
yeah.
And I think that is, speaking of support, let's take a break here. Go out and subscribe to every podcast channel for both the Detail Solutions right podcast, there. The Paint Assassins, Road FS. It really, I mean, honestly, people listening to this or watching it, it is like the least amount of effort you can do. And it's so much helpful for us to continue to do what we do. Both you guys, you know, with your sponsors and your support, being part of that group and seeing the people that put stuff in is how you can support it. So go out and subscribe, like, and follow everybody that you can so that we can continue to keep bringing you this content. So let's talk about you guys personally. Alex, let's talk about your day job. What do you do for real work versus play a radio host on TV?
Well, I own my own business. I'm detailing. So it's Detail Solutions Auto Spa. You can tell the creativity when I started a podcast coming up with the name. So yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I'm a single, you know, owner, you know, operator, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, and I've gotten to the point in my life where family time is a little bit more important for me. So I'm not, you know, trying to set the detail world on fire, you know, doing tons of cars. So Alan Medcraft actually, you know, kind of, you know, called it the perfect thing. It's more of a lifestyle business for me. You know, it's just doing enough to live the lifestyle that I want to live, you know, and I'm not trying to be anything more or less than, kind of. So yeah, that's what I do for my regular, you know, days. And then my evenings are usually filled with the podcast.
Yeah. So you're going to see a theme there among podcast people. You notice yours is that you know, Detail Solutions, and that's the name of your business. We have a software company called Road FS, and we're podcast. So, you know, we may not be creative in our name. Yeah. You know. All right. So Jason, what do you do for, you know, when you're not smiling?
So I'm retired. I'm 36 years old and I retired. I owned a shop for a couple years with a partner. And, you know, I guess sometimes working with a partner is good. Sometimes it's not. And in my case, it wasn't so good. So I ended up selling my portion back. And I just decided to retire and put all my focus and energy on growing the Paint Assassin brand. And then during that time, I kind of figured out, like, okay, the next step of my life I want to do is graphic design. So this summer I'm going to be enrolling into college and going to get my graphic design degree.
That's cool.
There you go.
That is so cool. I think I love that because I think a lot of times people think that what they've done is what they always have to do.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot about over the years. I mean, when I started our business, one of the motivators for me personally to kick it off was when my dad was 44, I was 18 and he was retiring from the Navy. Mm-hmm. Right. And he came to us and we had this family council. He sat down and he's like, look guys, I've retired from the Navy. I really would like to go be a nurse. And so I'm going to go to nursing school. It's going to really put a pinch on our finances as a family. So the next 2 years, we're going to have to buckle down. And all the kids were like, yay, go dad. Right. And it was such a great experience to go through that lean time with my dad and then see him for years just love his career, right? And so I love that you're like, you know what? I got a passion. I'm going to go do this. I'm retired at 36, and at 38, I'm going to be a graphic designer.
I feel blessed because, like, I've got to experience three different aspects of my life that I was passionate about. I was passionate about being in the military. I did a lot in 10 years. And I, you know, took my next step into detailing, and I fell in love with detailing. And now I'm just taking another step in my journey into something else that I love. So I feel really lucky to have three passions that I can do. Like, that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. And I think that part of that is just appreciating the journey, right? Because a lot of times I think they look at it as, okay, I'm on this step, but what's next? What's next? What's next? And they don't take the time to reflect on the journey that they got there. And like you were saying, Alex, you know, your family time is important. And that's one of the reasons that Jody and I wanted to do this is because, you know, we knew we weren't going to get rich doing this, but
what?
Newsflash.
Yeah, 14 years. But that's one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to create kind of a legacy business that we could hand off and we could walk away at some point and go do what we wanted to do, you know. And as we look back on our journey, there's steps along the way that we couldn't have gotten to that next step if we hadn't been on that plateau or whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
no, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big believer in, you know, kind of everything happens for a reason. So like that one step you're on now is going to lead you to the next step. And it, you know, almost kind of goes back to 10 steps ago, you know, that everything's just kind of fallen into place to put you in the right spot at the right time.
Yep.
Well, I think one of the challenges that business owners have, right, they're in the grind and they're going, why aren't I succeeding? Why aren't, you know, in the moment I'm getting what I want. I'm not where I want to be today. Right.
Yeah.
And it goes back to a thought I had when Rob was talking earlier is like, you know, Jeff Bezos said, everything that I'm doing today, I will see the result in 2 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we have this short mindset as business owners that, man, I'm grinding, and I'm not seeing the results. But really, you're laying the foundation for the success of tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're going to get 2 years down the road and like, oh, wow, I got here. But are you going to be satisfied with that process? Are you going to be disappointed? Or are you going to go, all right, now what next?
Yeah. And some of it could be, you know, sometimes you're a little bit too close. You know, like I kind of get that all the time. You know, people will be like, you know, well, you know, how's business or whatever? And I'm like, I don't know, man, you know, like it feels really slow, but you know, it's March, it's spring break down here in Florida. It's always slow. And, you know, and then I go and I look at what I've done and I'm like, oh, well, I'm actually up over last year, you know, now. And, you know, but it doesn't feel like it's, you know, busy. So I think sometimes, you know, when you're too close to it too, you got to step back and take a look at it and kind of look at it bigger picture. And then you can kind of see, you know, the growth and things like that.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that? Because I think a lot of business owners struggle with what they feel with where they really are. And that really where they really are can be better than they think that they're doing or worse than they think they're doing. And they're blind to it, right? They're not being honest with themselves that they need to make some adjustments. And then on the flip side, they're not appreciative of what they've achieved through the process. So how over the years have you two balanced that and managed through that?
I'll let you know when I figure it out.
Yep.
Because I still, you know, again, I sit there and I go, man, I'm not busy enough. And again, like I, you know, like I said earlier, I'm not trying to light the detail world on fire. I'm not trying to, you know, be one of these guys that's, you know, cranking out just, you know, churning and burning kind of deals. You know, I've always kind of said, you know, realistically, if I could just do 52 cars a year, you know, at a $2,500 coding price, like I'm good, you know, like I don't want to do any more than that. You know, but sometimes it's not that easy. You got to do the $300 job here and the $50 job there and the $600 job there, you know, kind of deal. So, I haven't figured out how to balance it other than just realizing that, you know, I'm 7 years in and we're still doing business. So, you know, tough times, good times, like as long as, you know, I've got a car in the shop, I'm a happy camper. You know, the times that the phone calls aren't coming in or the appointment book's getting a little bit thin, like it is a little worrisome, but I just always kind of look back and just know that, like, okay, you know, it's, you know, there's definitely the you know, you got to follow your trends, you know, from year to year. It's pretty much always going to be busy at some point in the year, slow at one point in the year. And you just have to know how to work around those. So as long as you understand your trends and follow your trends, you know, then it's predictable, you know, and you can kind of be like, okay, well, you know, it's slow time of the year for us. So we're going to be slow, you know,
yeah.
Make hay when you can, when it's busy, and then prepare for it to be slow.
Yeah. And knowing that the slow times, once you've gone through that, you don't freak out. And yeah. I think that's part of maturity of owning a business. We started Absolutely. This in 2009 in the worst possible economy you could ever even consider.
Yeah.
So we did that on purpose, and we were like, well, if we can make it through this, you know, then when it's a little lean, we'll be all right. And, you know, here we are 14 years later, you know, and we've ridden through every,
and I'm still not rich. Oh. I'm really disappointed.
So one of the things that, like, my balance, like, that was one of my struggles on owning a business, not only with the struggles of having a partner and you know, having different creative ideas about the business, price points, you know, SOPs and things of that nature, but the balance was a big struggle and one of the reasons why I decided to, you know, sell my portion and kind of retire, because I felt like I was working late all the time. I would mm-hmm. work into the later the night, and, you know, I didn't like that. I know my wife didn't like that. So there really wasn't much time. So I'm kind of looking forward to going to school, balancing that, balancing the podcast, balancing the Pain Assassin brand, and now, you know, balancing being on an IDA committee and trying to balance all of that together. I'm looking forward to that challenge, because I feel like that's a little, because I have control of all of that. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to balancing all that and see what I can do with it, because I'm very confident in that aspect.
Yeah. And I think that's a really key point you hit on there, Jason, is that, you know, I think one of the trends we've seen in the last couple of years is more and more and more involvement in the IDA. And although it has its challenges, because we are volunteers, we're not paid employees, so they can't fire us. And because we can only control so much of that, I think it's a really good thing. But it's nice to have people on there that are wanting to make it better and wanting to make it a more positive thing, and getting consumers to understand why they would go to, you know, IDA certified and IDA members, just like every other organization out there. I mean, you don't go get an electrician when they're not certified, you know?
Right.
So let's talk about the Paint Assassins and that whole, just really cool thing to highlight people's skills and to show, you know, to kind of show off. And the thing I like about it, I mean, quite honestly, is that a lot of times when I see the photos, it is a nondescript panel of a car. It's not about saying, look what I did to this brand of a car. It's look what I did to the paint on this car.
Right.
So that's what I really like about it, honestly, for me, because I think too often we get the picture of the Ferrari or the Lamborghini and it's 10 feet away. And I'm like, yeah, I can take a picture of my car that looks like crap and it looks shiny. You know,
it kind of puts the pressure on the detailers. Like, you want to talk the big game, show the big game. That's all it is. I mean, like you said, anybody can go and polish a Lamborghini, a Ferrari or anything of that nature. And, you know, it's cool. It's very cool to look at. It's very cool to work on, but I like seeing something that's brought back from the dead. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, I'll use dirty old cars as a perfect example.
I was just thinking that.
Like, that show right there, like, highlights what our industry really is and what it can do. And I can't talk enough about that show and what it's, hopefully, what it could do for our industry.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do with Paint Assassins. Like, you know, I give out these awards and hope that they will display them in their shops and, you know, start a conversation with their customer. I saw that you won a paint correction of the month. What is that? Tell me about that. And they tell their customers about it. And they're like, oh, shit, this guy won an award for a paint correction. This is probably who I want to go with.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I think that that is, it's more than just a feather in the cap. I mean, we have, you know, we have people all over the place that get awards, and, you know, we got a room full of awards over for,
what? I feel like somebody was coming through the wall. Holy Hannah, what kind of rats are running through our wall?
Yeah, this is a low rent place. You got to understand. So, you know, that, I think that that's important to have that, because that does legitimize. I mean, I don't care if it's a, I don't care if it's a certification. I don't, I mean, obviously the Paint Assassin, like the award that's right behind Alex's shoulder there,
which is not in his shop.
Yeah. Well, you know,
well, I have one in my shop.
That is true.
Multiple time winner. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I think they're important. We talked about this, and when we were in MTE,
you had to do it.
We'll be handing this to you guys next year, right?
An honor, right?
So I mean, that's a cool thing. And I think the best part about winning an award, honestly, is now that I don't have to worry about it anymore. Yeah. And so now you can pass it off to somebody else. Right. That's exactly it. Right,
I want to flex a little bit too, you know.
There you go. There
that's
you go.
That's it, baby. Well, I think
those are important, because when your clients see those, it helps legitimize what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Professionalism behind it.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I appreciate about Jason doing it is, you know, for some of the awards, it's, you know, you have to be nominated. So you're nominated by your peers in the group, and then you're voted on by your peers in the group. So, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not just like some Facebook award, you know, or Facebook group award or whatever, you know, I mean, like it's, you know, it has some legitimacy to it, because you're, again, you're nominated by your peers, you're voted by your peers. So, you know, as one of those winners, you know, that's a cool thing, because it's not just Jason saying like, okay, you know, this guy's, you know, does cool work or whatever, I'll give him an award. This is, you know, people that, you know, have sent Jason and, you know, enough nominations for him to go, okay, well, this person deserves to be in, you know, nominated for this group. And then he puts it to a vote, and it's voted by the people. And, you know, so it really does mean a lot. And I think that the camaraderie thing kind of plays into it. You know, when you see, you know, your fellow peers or your friends winning those awards, and it's, you know, a little bit like, shucks, you know, like sucks that I didn't win, but like, hey, it's cool that, you know, so-and-so won it, because they're killing it and they're doing a great job. And so, you know, that's a cool thing about it too. And it's nice to have one, you know, right there. And then,
yeah, and I think what it does is the other thing it does is it keeps you on top of your game, right?
Yeah,
if you want to be part of that club, you need to stay on top of your game. You need to be doing good work, and it highlights the like you said, the like dirty old cars. It highlights the industry, and it shows people what we do. And it's not that, you know, anybody can go down to Harbor Freight and buy a polisher.
Yeah,
but not everybody can actually make the paint look good. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, the key, because when you're talking about the differences in pads and compounds and surfaces, you know, it was interesting last night. We're sitting here videoing with the detail kid, and he was on the news here, local news, you know, obviously 12-year-old kid detailing Ferraris is pretty big deal. And so we're sitting there, and he's polishing on this one spot, and they're just filming him. And all of a sudden his dad goes, son, you need to stop polishing on that spot. And I walked over to him and he looks at me. Now, this is crazy. This kid's 12 years. He looks at me and he goes, I'm not putting any pressure on it. There's hardly any compound on it. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
He was going for a shot. But that's funny. The difference, I think, is he understood, and he should. He's a professional detailer. His skills validated. He's trained with, you know, Rigo Santana. And he understood skills. Negative he's pressure. Good. He showed me there was still three dots on the pad. I mean, it hadn't even smeared around on the pad. He was putting no pressure. And, and everybody watching him, you know, including his dad, who owns a detail shop and is also a certified detailer, was like, he's putting pressure. Nope, not hardly at all. So
he was cognizant that he was doing it for the camera. I mean, definitely.
Oh,
was.
Yeah.
and I think that's an important lesson in itself, too, right?
Yeah.
Is when you're interacting, whether with your peers, you know, being humble enough to go, all right, it's like Rod and your experience at Rupes, and the guy's going, put a little bit more pressure,
right?
You know, and having the humility to receive that. But also, recognizing that when you're with a customer, that your customer doesn't have the same experience as you. And so don't rush through a ceramic coating or an interior detail or whatever, because a lot of times you assume that they know and they're not even on the same place, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of detail business owners struggle with that aspect of their business because they're like, I'm not getting the $2,500 deal or the $1,500 deal. I'm only doing these $100 things. Well, you're not educating your customer through the process and helping them make the decision that is right for them as a consumer.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Education is key, whether you're educating yourself or educating a customer. Because the more you educate yourself, the more you can educate your customer.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's funny because I don't care whose shop we go to, and we get the really awesome experience of going to all kinds of shops. No matter where you go, you'll go into a shop and yeah, there's going to be something fancy and there's going to be something that's completely badass, but there's also going to be somebody's Honda Civic.
Yeah.
And there's going to be somebody's Altima, and it's about expectations of, yeah, that one's just in for an interior. We freshen that up every month and they're on a maintenance program. And those are fabulous. That's a great way to bring somebody in and to continue to have recurring revenue that mixes in, as you were saying, Alex, with the $2,500 coating jobs. Is if you got a maintenance program and you got people coming in that are on a monthly, it's not necessarily turn and burn, but it's recurring revenue that helps keep the lights on and helps keep building this thing out.
Yeah, I've done that almost since the day that I left the car wash, because I took that idea from the car wash of the monthly package. And I sold it to some of my clients who, you know, they want their cars cleaned once a week. And the beauty of that is I collect that money the first weekend of the month,
yep.
you know, from them. That pretty much covers a majority of our overhead for the month. So now, you know, you're talking, you know, first week of the month, I have my rent paid. I have my insurance paid. You know, we have the phone bill paid, the credit cards paid, you know, from ordering chemicals from the month before. You know, pretty much everything except for like whatever I'm going to need for that month. You know, if I need to go out and buy a coating for a job, if I need to go out and, you know, buy new towels, or I need to buy, you know, whatever, you know, I collect that by that first week of the, or that first weekend of the month. And, you know, it's the smartest thing I've ever done, because I know that worst case scenario, you know, if no matter how slow it is, I know that by that first weekend of the month, it's Fridays is when I do those cars usually. You know, I'm going to collect checks and I'm going to be able to at least cover bills, you know, and yep. then it's the fight or the struggle to, you know, do whatever for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
There's one thing that Alex does that I really admire about his business. And he does these things called hyper polishes, right? Where it's like, you know, what do you charge? Like $500 for that?
I'm starting at like 600 now.
600. Okay. How long does it take you to do that?
Small cars, roughly about 4 hours, 5 hours.
Okay. So you're roughly at $100 an hour.
Yeah.
That's a quarter. Yep.
And that's easy money, because you're not really putting much effort into it.
No.
At all.
No. And it's I mean, I botched the name, but I mean, it comes from the hybrid polish that a lot of guys do, or the 1.5 step or something like that, because you're not just using an all in one, you're actually cutting it and then you're actually polishing it down, but you're just not going for correction. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of botched the name and called it a hyper polish because it's speed. But yeah, I mean, I let my clients know that, you know, when I do something like that, you know, we're shooting for 65-70% defect removal, which we all know most of the time to the client, that's 100%, right? Yeah. You know, and
Yeah, it looks, if to us, it doesn't look great. I did this for my brother-in-law years and years ago, and he thought it was the greatest thing he'd ever seen. He was telling all his friends, and I'm like, don't tell him who did it. Yeah. To me, it didn't look great, but it was a, it was basically like you're saying, it was about a 1.5.
Yeah, yeah. You're, I mean, you're getting all the swirls and the light stuff out, you know, and you're just not shooting for the heavier stuff, right. You know, and and then when I'm done, I give it a quick panel wipe, and then I put some kind of sealant over it, you know, and I'm maybe 5-6 hours total in it, depending on, you know, size of the vehicle or whatever, and make it $100 an hour, and, you know, schedule it at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm done by 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Go home. Awesome. Yeah. See, now that's balance. Balance is right there.
Yep. Yep. And I think that is key, is trying to schedule yourself out so that both it works for the client and for you to do that on a Friday afternoon. You know what it is. It's not anything stressful. You're not working on it. You're not going, why does GM make such shitty paint? Fighting with it for the rest of the afternoon. And then when you're done with it, you walk away from it and you got family time. And that's one of the things that, you know, early on we learned. It's like, you gotta break away and spend time with your family.
Right.
And do the things you need to do. You know, we're lucky that we have, you know, a bunch of employees that do the number crunching code for us. And so
we
take the time to do stuff like this and go out and do on-site stuff. But I think that everybody has to have that balance, because early on we worked ourselves to death. We were 7 days a week and just killing ourselves.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, right? No. That's what you're supposed to do in the beginning. Supposed to work your ass off, so
in the beginning,
later on, you can balance.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm 32 and I look like this.
Yeah.
I thought you were 28.
Yeah.
Oh well, man, this has been such a great conversation, and I mean, obviously, we could dig in so much deeper in so many different aspects, but kind of in wrap up, you know, what's one tip that you think is critical for business owners? I mean, you both have owned a shop. What do you think that one thing is that will really make a difference in their business?
Raise your prices.
Mm.
Don't be afraid to raise them.
Yeah. Mm. There's somebody out there
that will pay it.
Yeah. There's so much fighting to, you know, the race to the bottom, you know, as they say right now, you know, where everybody's undercutting. You know, and I mean, I have friends that'll reach out to me and be like, oh, you know, you see this new post on, you know, this new ad on Facebook, you know, this guy's charging $400 for this, or this guy's charging, you know, $800 for, you know, this. And I'm like, I don't care, you know, let them all race to the bottom. I'm going to raise my price another $100 or whatever. You know, and the clients who are really doing their due diligence, you know, for a ceramic coating job or paint correction job or PPF job or whatever, they know what it should cost. And they know that they're going to pay more than what that guy is advertising, you know, for cheap. And they know what they're going to get for cheap. So let them get the cheap clients, the people that are just going to be a nightmare to deal with after the fact. And I'm going to keep raising my prices and getting that person that's willing to pay for it. I mean, that's my little piece of advice that I try to tell everybody is raise your prices. I mean, that's what was told to me when I was not charging enough. And, you know, and I was scared to do it because I didn't think that I could get it, you know? And so I went back home from my little mentor training, and when I was told to raise my prices, and I went back home, and, you know, the next client was like, well, how much for ceramic coating? And, you know, I was normally charging like 16, and I was like, oh, it's like $1,800. Okay, cool. When can I schedule it? You know? And I was like, oh, shit. You know, like all I did was just bump it up $200. And, you know, so 6 months later, I bumped it up another $200 and get to $2,000. And, you know, now I'm trying to push it, you know, a little bit more, without being choosy. Again, like, you know, it's quality over quantity, I feel.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, that's good.
If I was to give somebody advice, I'd tell them, you know, like I said earlier, just educate yourself as much as you can, because the more you educate yourself, the better you'll be able to communicate with your customers, and you can talk with confidence. Because I used to be that guy where I would try to pretend like I know what I was talking about to try to land a job, and then I would lose it because there wasn't confidence in my voice. There wasn't confidence in my approach. So that's when I kind of started taking everything a little bit more seriously to educate myself. That way I've landed more jobs just by being confident in what I was saying. So I think that goes along with your price points. Be confident in your price points, be confident in what you're selling to them, and do that by educating yourself.
Yeah, I love that. Yep. Well, man, well, thank you guys so much for tapping in with us this morning. Guys, please go out and subscribe to the Detail Solutions podcast on YouTube. And, of course, you got to subscribe to RotaFest's podcast. We really enjoy doing these podcasts. I mean, it is three and a half years that we've been doing this. And it every conversation, we learn something, something's reinforced.
Yeah.
So go check it out, guys. And like, share, subscribe to both our channels. And anything,
make sure to hit that 5-star review on both of us, because that's what
right. Hit those big reviews. And I think you know, to me, any advice is just stay humble, like you were saying earlier, Jason, and stay humble. There's so many people that are just overly cocky in this industry, and I love them to death. But just please stay humble and learn, be hungry. So
yeah. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Absolutely.
You guys have a fantastic day, and we'll check you same time, same bad channel, just next week.
Thank you. You guys.
Later, guys.
See ya.
See ya.